Hi, this is Erin from Fit Bottomed Girls.
Hi, this is Fit Bottomed Girl Jen.
Hi, this is Fit Bottomed Girl Kristen.
Hi, this is Fit Bottomed Girl Margo.
You are listening to the podcast that will not only help you to keep a lid on the junk in the trunk, but will also help inspire you to live a happy, healthier life full of confidence.
Each episode, we talk about current events and our favorite articles from the sites. Plus, we chat with experts in food, health, nutrition, meditation, fitness, and more.
If you've been looking for that one podcast that will make you laugh as you learn more about yourself, well, then welcome to the Fit Bottom Girls podcast.
Welcome back to the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. This is Margo, and on the line today we have Jen.
Hey.
And we have Kristen.
Hello, hello, hello.
And today is a super duper special episode because one of the fitness queens of my life that I've worshipped forever, Kathy Smith, is on the show.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Kathy Smith.
She is just the dopest. I mean, she just is amazing. She's just been at this for over 40 years now. She started in the 70s, and this is just an incredible conversation. And she was one of my earliest fitness heroes. I just adored her. And I was telling them, I talk about a little bit on the show, but I worked at a fitness store when I was a teenager at the mall, and they would play her videos all the time. So I just feel like I know her for some weird reason. I felt connected to her. So I was just so excited. During the interview, when she mentioned my name a couple of times, I got a little like, oh,
she said my name.
Knows me.
She knows
me.
After all these years, we're finally connected.
I know. I told my friends from the mall, I'm still, we're friends on Facebook. I was like, you're not going to believe who I talked to on Skype today. And they're like, no way.
I love it. She's great. I mean, I did a number of her workout DVDs. I used to get them from the library, and then I would, and then later on, once we were into like getting DVDs from the library, I used to, burn them, I guess illegally.
And
I'm like, oh no, did I just out myself? Who steals from the library? But that way I could, you know, return them and I could still do them. But I know there was one that Erin and I used to always talk about doing all the time. It was like some sort of leg burning one, which I'm sure she has tons of them, but you just did so many lunges. There was like no other better workout. And she was dressed in purple, like lots of like
shiny
purple. It was fantastic.
So Kristen, like, who was your early fitness hero? Do you remember who you used to work out to when you were young?
I'm trying to remember because I was always, I did a lot of sports. So I remember looking up like crazy to Gabrielle Reese because she was tall.
Oh, she's amazing.
And I was tall and she played volleyball and she was so good at it. And she just never, you know, never like took a back seat to anyone. She was like, I'm here. I'm awesome. Let's do this. And I just loved her. So I didn't really do like as a kid, I didn't really do like the too many VHS tapes and stuff. But yeah, like with the DVDs, like, I mean, of course, like did some of the Kathy Smith ones. There was some Denise Austin in there.
Oh, did you do the Paula Abdul? Did you do the Paula Abdul dance workouts?
I did not because I was not aware of them and I don't understand how that happened.
Yeah. But you didn't know me yet.
No, but I mean, let's be real though. I had my own dances to basically every Paula song. So yeah, I mean, she does not need MC Scat Cat. I'll just take that part right now. I am a hell of a tap dancer, guys.
I used to dance so much in like my downstairs and in the basement on carpet that I would wear out my socks. Like I would wear holes in my socks, like almost every single week because I would be, I don't know, doing some sort of like 80s, 90s, like shuffle, you know,
yeah,
like on the ground.
Did you watch MTV and just like dance your ass off in the afternoons? Like, that's what I used to do after school, like just to let off steam when they used to play videos, when they used to play music.
Yeah. And I would record them and then I would try to go back, you know, like and learn the dances. I would like stop and rewind and fast forward and get the moves. You think I could dance better than I can? See, I put so much effort into it.
You've got some moves, Jen.
Thank you. Not like you.
When I first moved to New York, my roommate had the Cindy Crawford workout.
Oh,
do you remember that? I think it was Radu. Radu was her coach. He's a guy that owns the studio in New York City. There was a time when every single celebrity had a fitness DVD.
Yes.
At some point. At every age. Everybody had something. So that was like the big money maker, I guess, at the time. You just, you know, do a couple of those. You do an abs one and a low impact one and a high. I mean, everybody got in on it in the 90s after Jane Fonda and Kathy were just burning it up in the 80s, I guess.
Yeah. I guess I saw a market and was like, let's do this.
So what was your favorite part of the interview for today?
You know, I think for me, there's like so many different favorite parts.
I know.
She gets so real about body image and she talks about her daughter in the Olympics. And there's like a really touching moment there. She tells us, thank you. I mean, she was just like, thanks for being part of this like body positivity movement, which was like
incredible.
Really, yeah. Like crazy cool to hear. And then, you know, actually she was also really cool. I would say just before and after the interview when she was just talking to us, it's like she had, you know, you think of some of the people we talked to. I mean, they're very busy. They have lots of things to do, you know, and she was just like, yeah, let's chat before, let's chat after. And she was in no rush. And I thought that was really cool. And then before she was talking about bone broth and like her secrets to, you know, not, I mean, aging gracefully or like in her case, like not looking like she's aging.
like at all.
Yeah.
At all.
So I just think it's cool. She's trying new things. Yeah. She was just really, she was really refreshing and really, she was like everything that you think she would be and more, you know?
Yep. Everything you hope for.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was incredible. She's so warm and she was so open and honest and she kept asking us our opinion about things. Like it was just really cool. It's a wonderful discussion.
Yeah.
Going back again, you know, when we wanted to start this podcast a few months ago, this was one of those guests. I'm like, gosh, could we get somebody like a Kathy Smith? And we got her and she's incredible. And it's a much longer interview, not much longer. It's a little bit longer than we normally do, but
yeah.
We didn't want to stop, you know, she didn't want to stop talking. So we of course didn't want to stop listening. So we recorded all of it.
We did.
So,
and like,
yep.
And one of my favorite bits is toward the end when she's talking about, and I don't want to give too much away because I want you guys to listen to it and hear what she has to say. Cause it's so smart, but she's talking about the damage that you can really do to yourself by doing like the yo-yo diet. And these
yes.
same things. And I was like, this, like, you know, just all capital letters, this, cosine, 100%, love you, love you, love you. So, you know, I'm like, I can't imagine if we had tried to cut things off earlier and missed that.
You know, Kane.
We just might have to have her back.
I know.
I totally think so.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
All right. Well, so here you go, guys. This is our interview with Kathy Smith. I hope you enjoy it. Take it away, Kathy Smith interview. Welcome back to the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. Our special guest today is Kathy Smith. Kathy is one of the most trusted fitness icons in the world who has been on the forefront of the health and wellness industry for over 30 years. She has a collection of best-selling books, videos, audiobooks, and DVDs on everything from aerobics to walking to prenatal fitness to yoga and strength training. She has sold over $500 million in lifestyle and fitness products in her career and is a member of the Video Hall of Fame. And she recently launched Ageless with Kathy Smith, which is an age-defying DVD workout line. Plus, she has a line of kettlebells for women called the Kettlebell Solution. The Los Angeles County Commission named Smith Woman of the Year in 2011 for her work educating communities. She also received the Lifetime Achievement Award from IDEA, which is the largest organization for fitness professionals. She's the Alumni Hall of Honor from her alma mater, the University of Hawaii School of Business. She is a member of the Founders Circle of the Women's Sports Foundation, the nonprofit founded by Billie Jean King to empower girls and women through sports and activity. She is now based in Park City, Utah. Welcome to the show, Kathy Smith.
Thank you, Margot. Thanks for the introduction.
It took quite a while. I had to go, you have so many achievements. I had to like, you know, just bring it down. So on the line today, we have Jen.
Hello.
And we have Kristen.
Hi, guys.
So thank you so much for joining us today via Skype. We're all over the country. So Kathy, I wanted to ask you the first question. In the late 80s, early 90s, I was living in Northern California. I was a teenager and I was working at the mall because that's the law. When you're a teenager in California, you work at the mall at some point. And the place I worked at sold dance gear and fitness gear mainly for women. And we played videos and we used to play your videos all the time and would play over the speakers. So I got to know your videos so well, like the way you spoke and all of your cues and everything like that. Cause I would hear for hours at a time, you and Jane Fonda, I would hear over and over again. And I actually got really excited because you had a pregnancy DVD, correct? Were you pregnant with your daughter, Kate Grace, then?
I was. So that was that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was the pregnant. Yeah, that's Kate's. And I totally understand with the hearing it over the loudspeakers. I have so many people that come up to me and go, you know, husbands would come up and say, I recognize that voice because I would hear, take it up. Give me four more. Come on. Four, three, two. And they would recognize the voice.
They were amazing. So what was it like back then?
Every day she would wake up in the morning, I would hear that voice.
Oh my goodness. So what was it like back then? The industry, like you were there with the launch of the whole video industry and the video fitness industry. What was it like then versus what it's like now?
Well, yes, in the early 80s, there were very few options. So I think that's the biggest thing. Taking it a step further back in history is that before video, there were albums. So before in 1980s, we did the first videos. In 1978, I had my first exercise album. So you would put the album on the turntable. You would look at a poster on the wall. There would be little pictures of me and you would follow along. And then in 1982, there were enough VCRs in the marketplace to justify having videos. But everybody, and this sounds crazy now to you guys, I'm sure, but people said nobody will work out at home. That's crazy. Nobody wants it. Women don't want to work out at home. And so when those first videos came out, and you mentioned Jane Fonda, and I always, my hat's off to Jane because she's the one that broke open this industry and people, she had a name, she had a reputation, and people listened to Jane. And then right at the same time I was coming out with my videos, but there weren't many people out there doing it. So it was unique. Now, you know, because of YouTube and everything else, everybody can have a DVD or or some sort of presence. And because of it, it's not maybe quite as special. And there's a lot of options. There weren't a lot of options back then.
That's fascinating. Can you?
The record thing.
Yeah, the record.
Oh my God. You blew my mind when you said the record.
Yeah, I'm like, I feel like maybe that could come back. Like maybe we should bring that back. I had like turntables are like they're like the hipster thing to do, right?
Well, I have to tell you, I walk into the store and I see a whole, at Whole Foods, they have all these albums. I go, yes, I'm current again, but you're absolutely right. I did four albums, and that was where we knew something was going on. So the story behind it is I graduated from college, went to Los Angeles, and there was a woman who was an independent record promoter in my class. I started teaching classes. And by the way, I got into teaching classes because my next door neighbor, where I was renting a guest house, just came out with a line of leotards. They were called Flexitard. And she asked me, she goes, would you be my hang tag model? At the time, she had a little studio. It was just very, very small. And there was a woman who would teach this type of calisthenics. And in the class, there was Jane Fonda. There was Barbara Streisand. And we were doing like, I don't know if you guys kind of can picture this, but you know, fire hydrants where you all four.
Oh, yeah.
Familiar. So, you know, you're doing things like that. I had come from Hawaii. I ran my first marathon in 1975. So I was really into running. I was into aerobics. It wasn't a thing yet. So I took this class with music and I put an aerobic component to it. And that's what, you know, propelled me to getting this following. People would come to my class. And then this woman who was an independent record promoter said, her name's Toni Perpera, and she said, we should try doing an album. And we did. And lo and behold, you know, a record producer from Motown actually, you know, did a spinoff. It was called the Muscle Tone label. And we sold a million copies of that. And we go, okay, there's something going on in this country here. People, women across the country are home. And you know, you mentioned the pregnancy video. And honestly, that video, even though I had videos before that really was a turning point for me because women realized they were having their babies. They needed to stay home. They were staying home. Not that they needed, but they were staying home. They wanted to do something and they didn't have the outlet at that point. So all of a sudden it's like they could take a video. They could put the baby, you know, for a nap and now they could be doing, or they could bring the baby in the workout area with them. And all of a sudden I'm getting these snapshots from people around the country working out with their babies and to this day, by the way, I walked into a restaurant this morning where I go for breakfast after my hike this morning. And this woman comes over. She goes, I hate to bother you. You know, my name's Lori, but I just wanted to say, I started with your pregnancy video, and it's because of you, you know, that I'm now doing triathlon. So the story's just, you know, with that pregnancy workout, it's near and dear to my heart.
Wow. That was my second question, by the way. So you answered it. I know.
That's so touching. I love that story. I'm wondering, you know, since you have been doing this for so long, we talk a lot about body image on Fit Bottom Girls, like all the time, like how to have a better body image, improve your body confidence, maybe be body positive. In your experience, have you seen struggles with body image get worse or get better, do you think?
Great question. I think, I have to say, I think it's age related, and I think that I've seen them get worse with certain age groups. And, but I think one of the great things about aging is there's a point, and it's different for all of us. And it's not like you're throwing in the towel, but there's a point where you go, you know, this is pretty good. And there's a lot of other things to think about in life than if I got the flattest abs in the world. And I think that comes with age, but I have noticed, and I have noticed through my career, that there is the obsession with leaner is better, smaller is better, tighter is better. And, you know, I acknowledge you guys because it's people like you and it's people like all three of you and what you're doing for this industry to get that message out, which is, you know, you're great. You're great. And, you know, and there's been a lot of campaigns that have started in the last 10 and 15 years with, you know, the Dove campaign and different product lines. And as of course, Oprah's been great with this about honoring the body, but there still is, I still am surprised as how obsessive some people will get about the littlest, what they consider flaw on their body. And they can look fabulous, but if it's the extra pinch an inch somewhere, that they'll come up to me and say, but Kathy, what do I do about this? And not that I mind questions about how to tone and tighten and all that, but you can see that there's a little bit too much of a fixation, not on the total picture, not on the health side of it, not on the what your body can do, but literally how it's going to look. And I think that is, it's shifting, but there's still a lot of obsession with that. And I hate to say it, but because I have two daughters, I've seen a lot of eating disorders in the life of my, not with my daughters, but with friends. And I've been on the board of a high school for 10 years, and just what we would go through with girls and especially those teenagers and then getting into the early 20s and not spending enough time. Well, anyway, I think I answered the question. I go on.
I talked about that for like hours. I was like completely captivated.
Okay, me too.
Well, and that actually ties, I think, pretty nicely into something that I wanted to ask, because Kathy, you had some pretty interesting and unusual ways that you sort of fell into or got into fitness. And, you know, if you guys just pull up her bio, maybe we'll have it on our page, but I mean, you look her up and your entry to fitness is incredible. But it makes me wonder, do you think that there are ever wrong ways to get involved in fitness, or anything that maybe you would warn against, especially with your experience that you're talking about with the eating disorders and things that you've seen in the high school and young adult women? Anything you'd warn against or anything that you would encourage people to focus on once they decide that they'd like to kind of embrace more of a fit lifestyle?
Yeah, I think the biggest warning is that quick fixes do not work. So whatever quick fix you come up with, and when I say quick fixes, if you're jumping into something that you can't maintain over a period of time because you don't like it, like if you decide the grapefruit diet's for you, but you hate grapefruits, then and 3 days later you're going to be cursing, you know, the morning grapefruit. That's not going to work, no matter if you lose your, as promised, 6 pounds in a week type of thing. So those are things just be really careful of, because those are the things that really mess up your metabolism, and that you don't realize it the first time, because people do the first time it can be almost anything. And this is what's so funny about fad diets. I could almost tell you, if it's a mono meal of any sort, I could tell you bacon, I could tell you kale, I could tell you, you know, eat this. And the first couple times through these cycles of things, you will lose weight, and you'll lose weight really quickly. And you'll wake up and you go, oh my God, I lost 6 pounds. And what you're you know, not realizing, and it's, you know, part of it's water weight, a lot of it's water weight. But the main thing is you start to mess with your metabolism and you start to mess with your hormones. And the one thing that I would encourage every woman listening to this, and no matter what age you are, start to learn how important hormones are in your body. And it's not just periods. It's not just pregnancy. It's not just menopause, but these are the little guys that really regulate your moods, your how much anxiety, but also play a big role in your weight. And when you start messing around with like gimmicky type things, it starts to mess around with your hormones, and then you can correct it if it's just a little bit. But when you start to do a lot of this, it messes it up, and it messes it up for a really long time, and then you're paying the price. So if you spend 10 years of doing all this gimmicky stuff, then you have to spend the next 10 years trying to get yourself back on track. And so anyway, that's one thing I warn against. And then the other thing is, I mean, I would say as early as possible, listen, we all have insecurities. I mean, but the sooner that you can go into, you know, these states of gratitude, maybe in introduce a little meditation or a little, you know, just any outlet you have for how do you start to think in a more positive way just about your life, then you'll kind of get off that by solving a body problem. You know, I'm going to get my man as soon as I look a little better, because that cycle continues then for the rest of your life. And then it's going to be, I'm going to be more successful in business. And then it's the first wrinkle that comes up. And then it's the first, you know, crepey skin. And not that I'm not suggesting that all these things we can't like have a little bit of, you know, what's the answer? Cause that's fine. It's just how much, you know, you kind of have a point in the day where you go, okay, I can spend 5 minutes on this pity party or whatever it might be that you want to do. Then you got to move on to the bigger issues of life and what's going to really make you happy and what's going to make other people happy and where you're going to find your passion to do what your calling is in life. Cause that's where I see people get in shape. I see people turn the corner when they really discover what they love in life. And and that can be, I love this, you know, when it comes to fitness, I love this trainer who works at SoulCycle. The music she plays is off the charts. It makes me feel, and when you find that when it comes to fitness, you kind of solve your fitness dilemma. And when it comes to food, when you start to find recipes and things that you look forward to eating instead of, oh, I'm supposed to be eating, you know, such and such, but I don't like it. But when you start to develop a cuisine that you love, that's also healthy, we've solved that one. And then the most important thing, when you start this happiness thing of like, what's going to keep you occupied through the day? Because you're so busy with all the fun things you get to do with your work and your passion that you're not so fixated on that extra lump.
You know, it's really interesting you mentioned that, because Jennifer and I interviewed a woman named Kelsey Miller, who's at Refinery 29, and she had the Anti-Diet Project, which was her column. And we're all about anti-diets here. Diets don't work. You know, it's about living your life fully. And the big lesson she told us is like, you know, don't waste time on this stuff, because it's a way of avoiding having relationships and living your life fully. You get so obsessed with food and working out, and then you don't go out to meet friends for dinner because you don't want to eat too much, or you don't want to have a sip of alcohol because this will happen or that'll happen. And she just made that same point. Like, she spent her whole 20s like that. And it's no way to live. And she said, you know, it's a way of avoiding things too. It's a way of avoiding growing up in a way.
Yeah. 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 I totally agree. And you know what? In Ayurvedic, there's a great guy. His name's Mark Bunn, and I did an interview with him recently, but, and I'll try to make the story really short, but there was a guy, I mean, and the story's about a guy who does everything right. He exercises. He does this. He dies. He goes to heaven. He's at the pearly gates. He goes, God, how could you do this to me? And, you know, God says, well, you know, the one thing you missed was you didn't enjoy life. And that's, you know, that's sort of your purpose there. So now I'm going to send you to hell. And he goes, what am I going to be doing in hell? He goes, well, you're going to be getting up and you're going to be training 2 hours a day and you're going to be going to bed before 10 o'clock at night and you're never going to have a drink and you're going to be eating only kale and broccoli. So, and when you, and it was kind of the joke being sort of like, we sort of put ourselves in kind of a bit of I don't want to call it hell, but just in deprivation. And then it's sort of like, is that really the purpose of all this? And studies have actually really shown that is it better to have a good relationship, have a fun time with your kids, have a loving, you know, partner, and, you know, you eat some pizza for dinner, you know, occasionally or whatever, or the opposite. You are so buttoned up, but all the rest of things have fallen by the wayside. And obviously the answer is, happier is better.
I'm nodding. Yeah. So much right now. I'm just nodding. Absolutely.
Margo, did you have a follow-up question or do you want me to go?
No, no, you go, Jen.
Okay. So, gosh, I still have so many questions.
I know.
I'm not sure which ones. Well, okay. I'll loop two of these together and you can kind of go which direction you want to go to it. Cause I want to continue down the body image path. You've got two girls and then, you also, you know, you have worked in an industry that is, that everyone kind of, you know, you're very much on display when you're doing fitness. So I'm wondering, you know, how did you talk to body image with your daughters? And then also, have you ever had points of your life and your career where you have struggled with body image?
Yeah, great questions. Well, first of all, because I got introduced to fitness and, you know, you mentioned it earlier and, you know, you touched upon my beginning years and I had lost my parents at a very young age. My dad had a heart attack when I was 17 and then my mom was killed in a plane crash. And between being orphaned by the time I was 19, I was going through a very difficult phase in my life and the phase was, low, depressed, didn't know what to do with my life. And I stumbled through a boyfriend on running and I would go to the lap and I would go to the track and I would run a lap. And then I started linking those laps together and eventually would come back from a 3 or 4 mile run and go like, wow, I feel so much better. I feel more confident. I feel more alert. I feel just more focused. And that's what piqued my interest in exercise and my addiction to exercise, if you want to call it that at that point, was because I felt so good after doing it. And I realized that even that became a little bit of an escape for me. And I did, you know, go through therapy and I spent years with, you know, a therapist on, you know, dealing with the loss of my parents and all that meant to, as far as abandonment and things like that. But the running was what I held on to. It was what gave me, you know, the getting up in the morning and going for that run became very important to me. So I see that because it was never for me. I never stepped into this because I, you know, about body image or I needed to lose weight or whatever. But having said that, when I then had the two daughters, I used to have Kate and Perry, and that's Kate and Perry, not Katy Perry, by the way.
How did you work that out?
Believe me. So anyway, then I was in my bio you mentioned, I started with the Women's Sports Foundation and Billie Jean King and one of, in the early days of getting Title IX passed, which was giving girls equal opportunity in school for sports. And one of the things that I just had, I don't know if it was just intuitive. I think it's probably just intuitive because I hadn't read about it, but just when I would talk to my daughters, there was never a mention of, don't eat that. It's going to make you fat. And I would listen to other mothers to talk to their 6-year-olds, to their, I was like shocked, to their 9-year-olds. You know, you can't better not eat that. That's going to make you fat. And I would just cringe. But those words never came up in our household. It would be, well, first of all, people would say, how do you get your children to eat like broccoli or whatever it might be? And I think to myself, well, the one trick that I learned early on with an early childhood educator is it's the question you ask. So if you ask, do you want broccoli? The answer is going to be no. But if you ask, OT, do you want broccoli or green beans? I mean, then you start to have, you're going to give them a choice of what the, but then on top of that, it's tied to performance. I mean, you know, if you're trying to bribe in any sort of way of like getting them to eat or follow certain rules, it's like, you know, I just read that so-and-so, who's such a great soccer player, gets up every morning and they have oatmeal or, you know, whatever. You always tie it to something that's kind of healthy and positive and to somebody who they look up to. And that's, you just get the languaging. So words are powerful. And I also would also be careful of, after I got divorced and I'm very close with my husband. He was my ex-husband, but he was great with the girls. I just loved the way he was with my daughters. But I noticed when I started dating men that they would come in and they would say things like, oh, I'm just trying to think so it doesn't sound yucky. It'd be something like, you know, I mean, one daughter would walk in and it would be more of a comment on body is all I can say. And I don't even know how but it would be something like, God, you're really, you know, look, you know, you're really in shape or something, but sort of but to one daughter, maybe not the other. And the whole thing, I would pull them aside and it's sort of like, you know, compliments. You got to also watch how you compliment young girls. I mean, if they're always being complimented on, you know, I don't want my daughters being complimented on that kind of thing. Occasionally fine. And yeah, looking good is not a bad thing. One thing, but if you're not complimenting on what they're doing in school, the paper they wrote, how they're, you know, the community service they're doing, that's where you have to strike the balance with this. And I think it's sometimes it's the mothers, but it's also the fathers that contribute to this little too much emphasis where the compliments are going like, wow, you know, this is my daughter. Look how great she looks in these pictures. I mean, you can sometimes go, okay, I got it. But not enough on the other aspects of their personality. So that balancing that out was important for my daughters. And I think that, and for myself, did I ever have any body image? I wouldn't say I'm going to answer that yes and no. Nothing like that. I was never bulimic or anorexic or never went to that direction. I do feel that, I don't know if this is, I mean, I'm kind of hesitating because as I'm answering the question, I'm not sure. I'm trying to put myself back in that situation. When you have to go on camera, when you're shooting a video, when you're shooting a, mm-hmm. when you're shooting a, you know, a bathing suit, you're going to be in a bathing suit running on the beach. You know, do you go to watch? Yeah, yes. Do I definitely go to, I need to, you know, lean out. But honestly, I think because I had the blessing of being more of an athlete, it's kind of like a wrestler or even a bodybuilder. I mean, they're just, I would go into, there are techniques, which I think everybody should know about, because if you do have a wedding next week and you're feeling like your dress isn't fitting you, and it doesn't have to be an over fixation with it. But if you want to drop, you know, pound and a half of water weight, all you have to do is for breakfast, get up, have some wild salmon, get some asparagus in there and, you know, and cut out your carbohydrates for a couple of days and you can lean out. But if it's not if you're not fixated, then the next day, you know, you're going back to your regular eating and everything. I didn't see a real problem with it. I just learned the rules you need that maybe I should pass along to other people, because if you do want to lean out for something, and I don't know if that's a good or bad thing the way I said that, but that's my answer.
Cool. We love that though.
That's a great answer. I mean, it's like more of like, you know, it's when it's your job and your profession, it's a little different than being like, oh my gosh, I have no self-worth if I weigh 5 pounds heavier than what I want to be. I mean, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Well, and it's an important distinction to say, you know, I'm trying to do this for, you know, for a photo shoot or, you know, for a wedding versus, you know, like you said, tying it to your overall self-worth, because that's just not how we work.
No, and I think, and by the way, I mean, I learned through the years. I mean, I think that we all grow through our, I mean, we've been given these lives and we've been given different challenges, and I mean, I started at a very young age with on a spiritual path. I mean, losing my parents when I talk about the running, but I also went very much into deep spiritual meditation. And so constantly growing, but I always want to come across, and it was never perfection. So whenever you do interviews like this, I mean, I have the quote on my website at the top is always, it's progress, not perfection. So sometimes looking back, you can sound like, oh, you know, she had her shit together all the time. But I think what I'm just trying to say is like, yeah, I mean, yeah. Do you like just majorly mess up and think, and do you go down a path of, you're 24 years old or 27 and you get a new contract and you're thinking, oh my God, of course. But do you also sit there and do your meditation and sit there and find a blissful, peaceful place and love yourself? And yeah, and through the course of it, you grow. And I think that's what I read a book. I'm a big yogi, and I read a book many years ago, and they took the, oh, I don't know, the number 25, 40 of the top yogis in the country. And they talked about what their yoga practice meant to them and how it shifted them. And one of the things that was really honest about all these yogis was that we're given these personalities. And it's not like, okay, you take up yoga and now you have reached nirvana or you are an inspired human being, so you do no wrong anymore and you're never cruel to animals and you're never, you know, you never get angry again. I mean, all those things, you just start to soften your edges. I mean, everything starts to soften a little bit. And that's how I see the process. Yeah, yeah, with some things still there, but every year it starts to soften and you start to be, wow. I just took a yoga class yesterday, and at the end of class she had us take our arms and wrap them around our bodies. And I literally got a little tear in my eye because I was just holding myself. I was hugging myself. And I just thought, God, this is just so loving to love yourself. Just love yourself so much, just the way you are. And it was just the most peaceful, wonderful feeling. And it just, you build on that, but it's not like you're one way or the other and it's, you know, it's black and white and it's just this process we're all going through. So also don't beat yourself up too much when you do something, I guess is what I'm saying.
Perfect. And yeah, perfection is boring. You're right on with that. Now with your daughter, Kate, competing in the Olympics, there were some really great stories out talking about the difference that you experienced as a young woman getting into running and doing the Honolulu Marathon in, was it 1976? And your doctors, according to this New York Times article, your doctors said, don't do it. You'll never be able to get pregnant. You'll develop varicose veins and your uterus will drop. And oh my God, don't do it. But you did it anyway. So I would just love to know, like, what was it in you at that time that just made you say, screw it, I got this?
Intuition. I mean, it was one of these things that I'd started running. And as I mentioned before, it saved my life. So running saved my life. It was just the most amazing shift in my brain. And I knew there was something about this. We weren't talking back in those days about, to the degree we are now, about endorphins and dopamine and serotonin and things like this. And what happens when you do exercise and you do get out there that was happening in my body. And I knew that, that there was, you know, logic behind all of this, that that just didn't make sense to me. Plus, I was looking at the doctors that were making this recommendation. They were smoking. They were overweight. They were old. They looked a little decrepit. They didn't look that great. I'm going, you don't know what you, so in a way it was a little easier to dismiss it because it's like, I don't think they know what they're talking about. And I was also I was always a searcher and I was always love research. And I was also Dr. Ken Cooper, who was the granddaddy of aerobics, and he coined that term aerobics, and he's got the Cooper Institute in Texas. But he was doing his initial studies on aerobics, and he was the one that said, these were also the same doctors that said, if you have any kind of heart disease, do not climb flight of stairs. Don't get, don't have sex. And it wasn't until Cooper came along and said, no, this heart, that's a muscle and this muscle has to be worked. And so at the time there was another doctor in Hawaii that was taking 26 heart patients. patients and that had had episodes and training them to run the marathon. And so he was, so there was this, and there was just this point where there were other doctors that were coming out and saying, oh, it's not making sense. So there were things going around the country, and there was the articles being written in journals that were starting to question this belief.
So this is my question. So, you know, I'm on such a journey with you. I could talk to you forever. So here you are, you've been doing this for 40 years. You've been on this journey. What is your life like now? What is your workout? What are your workouts like right now? Like compared to your contemporaries? I mean, do you work out harder than them? You know, cause you've been taking such great care of yourself all this time, or are you taking it easier at all? I mean, what is it like now?
Yeah, I can, I do feel that because I've got a strong foundation and base in all aspects fitness, so strength, flexibility, cardio, that I do have capacity to work out fairly hard, and I like hard workouts. But I think that the biggest thing that happens with aging is recovery, so and length of workout. So meaning I work out probably harder than ever, heavier weights, but it's just that you make sure that you're giving yourself time to recover and you're being sensible about it. You don't want to hurt joints. I mean, that was the one thing through the years. I always protected joints, back, neck, knees. So you don't, so I really cross train. So I believe cross training and something called periodization and is really important. So through the year, I mean, you tie this back to someone like my daughter, Kate Grace, who you mentioned went to the Olympics this year. And we didn't get into it too much, but just for the listeners, Kate went, so she qualified in the 800 meter, made it to the finals of the Olympics. So we were in Rio for a good longer, you know, week or more. But when I watch Kate's training, and what's so interesting when I see her training, and it's a way that I've trained my entire life, and it is the type of thing that you never do the same thing. Like Kate, when her Olympics was over, and then she had a race in Zurich, and then a race in New York, and now that part of her training's over, and she goes into a full month of recovery, and she'll be doing other things, but she'll be off her feet, she'll go into swimming. Then she goes into, through the course of the year, it's broken down, laying your foundation, so it's longer and slower. Then you're going to go into heavy strength training, and you're going to go to the point where your legs and your body is going to feel very dead. So you're not, meaning that after your heavy strength workouts, you don't have a spring in your step, so your cardio is not going to be as good, but you switch over. And then you're going to go into, through the course of all of it, you're maintaining flexibility, but then you go into speed work. So you're going to have to focus on some really high repetition, you know, high turnover speed work. And then you kind of cycle around. And I think that's kind of comparable to my workouts. I mean, I live in the mountains. I love hiking. I love the outdoors. It's the last little bit of fall. The leaves are changing. We got the golds and the reds, and it's wonderful. So I'm up on a mountain as much as I can be for the next 3 weeks to 4 weeks. But in the middle of all that, it's strength training, it is TRXing, it's speed work. So I think that the one thing that I, cause I've always worked out with the guys, I love high intensity training. So from the time that I started, you know, back in the days of even like the early 80s, I would be doing my sprints, my interval training. We would go to UCLA and doing, you know, 220s on the track and then running the stairs. I like that kind of stuff, and I still do it. It's just that, as I said, you don't get into the repetitive. I see most people, whatever you decide to do, I don't care if it's bar method, if you're going to the same class, doing the same routine, 3 days a week, and you have been doing it for 6 months and now a year and now 2 years, your body will adapt to that. So just bear that in mind. And usually we set ourselves up for imbalances, not only in our body, but in our training. For instance, you're not getting any speed work. Yeah. So in a bar class. Now, how does that matter? What does it matter? Well, as we age, we start to lose that ability. And that's when you start noticing people around you are kind of, everything's going a little slower. They don't have their reaction time. And that's how you can tell somebody's older. Everybody thinks it's like the lines in your face. Just start looking around today. You can start to see who's aging by how quickly they get out of their car. How, when they go to park the car, can they turn their head? All those things start in your 40s. It's not This is not in your 60s. It starts actually in your mid-30s. You start losing a little bit, not a lot, but it's imperceptible at first, but it builds. So if you don't start training this way, and I've been training this way for my entire life, and so, yeah, reaction time, balance, all those things.
It's all about life, man.
Yep.
So, which you mentioned, you've talked some about your daughter, and I'm dying to know, like, A, what is it like to raise an Olympian? And B, how the hell do you do that?
Love it. Oh boy, I wish I could answer that. I think I could package that and maybe make some money on that if I could
actually. You
totally.
How about if I just say, okay, it's this little magic pill that I sell. No. Okay, so I think, you know, it was interesting because oh boy, it's such a good question. And people, I know I've gotten it so many times and it's just one of those things. It's a combination of a lot that we talked about today. I mean, whatever I said about myself right now, even the way that I, you know, talked about my training, I mean, the family, we would always go up to, even though we lived in LA, West LA, and we would always go to Sun Valley, Idaho, at least 6 weeks during the summer. There was always hiking. There was always water sports. It was always exposing the kids to a variety of activities and not placing too much emphasis on performance too young. One of the things, and I, when even there was a study that came out and I wrote an article about this, but one of the ways you can turn girls off, more so girls than boys, but what they found is if you start getting girls competing and getting them judging themselves, just like we were talking about the body image before, but if they start judging themselves very early on, like when they're 9 or 10 years old, whether they're a winner or a loser on a court or, you know, on the track or whatever, typically by the time they go through puberty, they will drop out of sports. So it's just not something you got to balance, because sports is about winning or losing, but just how you frame your acknowledgement of their soccer game, their track, you know, event, like, oh my gosh, it was so great to see you out there with the, positive reinforcement. That's not always on you won, you lost, you won, you lost. Because most kids, if they lose, if their team loses, they'll drop out, most girls. So it's really focusing on other aspects of, it looks like you're having so much fun with your friends out there. Hey, I hear that, you know, Jessica and the group's going over to do rock climbing tomorrow. Let's go with them. So exposing them to all these activities and kind of what we're talking about, getting them well-versed in their bodies in the sense of all kinds of activities. So hand-eye with racket sports and a little bit of toughness. So I think the toughness comes in, and I hate to say it, but I remember taking the girls rock climbing when they were probably too young for me to be doing this. And of course, just so the viewers don't, just so the listeners don't think I was being a bad mom. I mean, you know, they're belayed. They have people on the mountain that are, you know, making sure they're safe and everything. But I remember, you know, climbing up and going, I can't do this. And a little tears, I can walk. And they're already like 3/4 of the way up. And, you know, and just being there, it's just like, okay. And then thinking in the back of my mind, what the shit? What the hell did I just do? I got to bed. But then just going, okay, come on, don't look down now. Just come on. You know, you're good. Just one hand in front of the other. Come on. You're just, you know, 30 more seconds. You're at the top here. And then they get to the top. And all of a sudden, it's like they feel like on top of the world. They have the bragging rights. And I'm not saying that there's a little bit of maybe a little pushing along the way to like push their boundaries of what is possible. I think that might be a little of that. But the other thing that Kate mentioned in the New York Times article, Kate being my daughter, when the interviewer asked, the writer asked her the question about what influence I had. And she said, you know, mom would take me, we lived in Santa Monica. She would walk me to, there was an overhang. We lived near the beach. Walk me down there. She'd have me look out at the ocean. And she would say, okay. And I just, okay, let's take some deep breaths. Inhale and exhale. And I would have her like take 4 or 5 deep breaths. And I said, so today when you go out there, the main thing is just have fun. And I would leave her with that. I said, just go have fun today. And just leave her with that. Breathe and have fun. And because knowing that part of the thing is for all of us, And it's kind of where this whole thing started with fitness. If you're having fun, you want to be out there. If this is, and if you're breathing, then you're going to be focused and in the moment. And the thing about track or any sport is learning how to be present in the moment. So those two things about being present, but having fun with the process, because one of the things about winning or becoming an Olympian, and Kate talks about, but it's true of, and it's even true of my career, you lose a lot. You lose. You spend most of your time losing. And I think that's what people have to hear. You do not win most of the time. And you have to, until you start winning, and you have to be okay with that. And if you're not, then you're just going to give up. So it's learning about being present, focused, and having fun. Because if you're having fun with it, it's like, okay. And when I, and by the way, and this will be maybe like my last story, but it was very powerful for me. Kate made it, and for again, the listeners, it's important to know that she was number one in the U.S. She made it to the Olympics. And if you're not familiar with track, they have something called the prelims. So 72 countries compete. That's narrowed down to 24. Kate made it through the prelims to the semis. That's known as the semis. There's 24. Then that goes to the top eight. Kate made it to the top eight, which was her goal to make it to the finals. That's known as the finals, the top eight. But Kate came in last in the finals, which made, but she's top eight in the world. And, but her sister and I were in the stands. We're walking to go find Kate, you know, little tears welling up in her sister's eyes. She's going, but Kate was so good. She should have been done better. And I kind of welling up. I'm seeing her sister crying and I start to cry a little bit. And right then we're before we see Kate, we're passing the coach, and the coach, and I could actually cry when I'm saying this, but he grabs my face and he holds it on both sides of my cheeks. And he says, Kathy, there's no crying in track. This is the best day of Kate's life. A year ago, she wasn't walking. She had a stress fracture. She's in the finals of the Olympics. This is a day to celebrate. And I sort of wiped my tears off and did it. I can't very wipe it. But he goes, we learn from this and we move on. And the next week she was in Zurich with the same eight girls. She PR'd again. She now up to being not eight, with the same eight girls. She was in fifth place and then she moved on to New York. So the point being is I just thought it was a great lesson.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Oh.
And now I'm wiping tears. Like,
I know. That's the Kleenex.
Oh. Well, Kathy, this has been amazing. And I think we probably just have time now for our one last question that we ask really everybody at the end of our interview. And that is, what's the last song you listened to before you joined us for this podcast? I know it's a hard one.
There's no judgment.
No, we have gotten everything.
It's a safe place.
You know what? I guess because I was, I went by Silver Mountain and it was, I'm just trying to think. I just did the coolest little workout there. I won't talk about. So it was on and it was, I'm trying to think of the name of it. It's the Adam Levine and it's about the Mick Jagger, Moves Like Jagger.
Moves Like Jagger.
I love that song.
Yeah.
That's a great song. Well, Kathy, where can folks find you? Like what are all your call outs, your shout outs?
Yeah, if they just go to kathysmith.com is probably the easiest. Kate with the K, K-A-T-H-Y, smith.com. Then all my other links to everything else will be right on there.
Well, thank you so, so much for being on the show today. This is such a thrill for me. It is a thrill for all of us. And just we really appreciate it. And you're the best. What can I say? You're the best.
Well, I love all three of you. And thank you for listening to me. And I appreciate it. Big, big hug to everybody.
That's it for this episode of the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if you like what you're hearing, feel free to subscribe to us on whatever platform you use to listen to podcasts. And if you love what you're hearing, yay, leave a few stars and a review. That would be amazing. Be sure to follow us on all of our social media channels for Fit Bottom Girls, Fit Bottom Zen, Fit Bottom Eats, and Fit Bottom Mamas. You just spell it all out and you will find us. Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Pinterest, Instagram. Believe me, you will find us. If you want to reach out to say hi, have a question about a recent episode or interview, feel free to email us at podcast@fitbottomgirls.com. And if books and movies are also your thing, check out the other podcast I co-host called Book vs. Movie, which you can find anywhere where you search for podcasts. Thank you so much once again for dropping by. And remember, a life filled with laughter is a life well lived. Bye.